member. We be ready if you are. The general secretary, if you need to push your team in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. This presentation has been joined by the CIE team. We've got a divisional commissioner for crime intelligence, Lieutenant General Jacobs. Yeah, that is the additional member who joined. The presentation shall still continue through General Leon Rabi. And then he will be joining hands with him to respond to the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members of the committee. We are now moving to Program 4, that is on slide 145. The first part of the presentation is focusing on the expenditure estimates associated with Program 4 for crime intelligence. I want this request the CFO to take us through the financial tables, and then we will proceed then, Honourable Chair, with the performance indicators in there.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Program 4 is divided into two sub-programs. Its purpose is to manage crime intelligence and analyze crime information and provide technical support for investigation and crime prevention operations. The allocation for 2019-20 for this particular program is 4.093 billion, with crime intelligence operations receiving 1.690 billion and intelligence information management receiving. It's page 146. With intelligence information management receiving 2.403 billion. This particular program allocation is mainly compensation payments are the largest portion. Operational costs are primarily fuel, fleet maintenance, travel and subsistence as well as that is generated by personnel. It must be noted here that the Secret Service account is not part of this particular program. An increase of 7.6% from 2018 allocation to 2019-20 allocation. Thank you, Chair.
I will say, moving to the performance information associated with Program 4 Crime Intelligence, the first set of indicators relates to the statistical indicators, primarily focusing on the types of products that are being associated with the crime intelligence environment. The first category is the number of threat and risk assessment reports that are generated for the purpose of proactive policing operations. In the 2017-18 financial year, a total of 42,793 risk assessments and risk and threat assessment reports were generated by the environment, and the targeted result is to maintain that specific level of performance over the medium term, keeping into account that it's been influenced by specific operational demands. As far as the second indicator is concerned, I will say the number of early warning reports generated for proactive policing operations. The total in the 17-18 financial year is 31,307. So the purpose of this is just to inform the oversight bodies of the numbers of reports that are being generated, and we have set a target to maintain it at 27,150 over the medium term, once again keeping in mind that it might be influenced by specific operational matters or operational requirements. Also, the third statistical indicator relates to the number of profiles that have been generated for reactive policing operations. In the 17-18 financial year, a total of 118,642 profiles were generated. The estimated performance is in the current financial year is very similar, and the target that we have set over the medium term is to maintain it at 108,105. Once again, it might be influenced by operational requirements. Intelligence analysis reports, a total of 141,676 in the 17-18 financial year, and we are setting a target to maintain it at approximately 155,000 over the medium term per annum. the quarterly global threat assessment reports. In the 17-18 financial year, Honorable Chair, we generated a total of 5 global threat assessment reports. We generated on a quarterly basis, that is the normal trend, and over the medium term, we are committing to maintain that on 4 reports over per annum, that is per one quarterly report per quarter. The same applies to the number of interest reports that we generate. In the past, we've maintained 4 per annum, that's 1 per quarter, and the intention is to maintain that over the medium term and continue generating both the global threat assessment reports as well as the person of interest reports at 1 per quarter. Number 10, moving to the performance indicators themselves, the percentage of network operations that have been successfully terminated. We have revised the performance indicator, and the target is that all the network operations that have been initiated in a specific financial year in line with the technical indicator descriptions that we finalize that within the specific financial year. So we are maintaining a 100% finalization over the medium term. The percentage of security risk and vetting assessments conducted in terms of the indicator content there, we've targeted 100% per financial year. The estimated performance in the current financial year is a total of 3,339. And in the 2019-2020 target is 4,954. Once again, Honorable Chair, it is important to know that it might be influenced by specific operational requirements that relates to security risk and vetting. The number or the percentage of intelligence reports that were operationalized, Honorable Chair, this is an indicator that was introduced with the aim to ensure that the products that we generate with specific reference to the earlier reports that I mentioned, that the products that are generated within the intelligence environment, that they are productively used or operationalized within the respective environments. So that includes either from a proactive or a reactive policing approach, the products that are available, that they're operationalized. And we, keeping in mind that we recently introduced the indicators, we are setting a target of 70% of the products that are generated by the intelligence capability that is implemented and used for operational purposes within the proactive and reactive environments. As far as cross-border operations and the arrest of identified transnational crime suspects are facilitated in terms of the Internet Protocol, we as a member of the, part of the, as a member country of Interpol, we are targeting that 100% of the requests that we receive in terms of operations or the arrest of 100 persons from Interpol, that we will respond to all the requests or 100% of the requests that we receive. Going into the detail as far as the annual commitments are concerned, the first one is the percentage of security clearance certificates finalized in relation to the total plan. Now, in the 2017-18 financial year, I'm on page slide 154, a total of 1,356 security clearances were issued. We are targeting 1,154 in the current financial year, and the intention is that over the medium term we will maintain 100% achievement as far as the issuing of security clearances are concerned. The ICT security assessments, we finalized in the 17-18 financial year, we finalized more than what we planned for in the current financial year. The estimate is that we will also exceed the planned number of security assessments to be conducted, and the target for the medium term is to maintain 100% achievement of the security assessments that were finalized in terms of the demand. In terms of the mandatory physical security assessments, 830 in the previous financial year, that was 99.52% of the planned activities. In the current in the 2018-19 financial year, we targeted a total of 640, and the target over the medium term is to continue continue on a 100% trend, focusing on the 640 security assessment that needs to be conducted. Security awareness programs, a total of 356 that have been planned for the that we estimate that will be performed in the current financial or in the 2018-19 financial year, that exceeds the planned target at the time, and we are now targeting in over the medium term a total of 306 in the 2019-20 financial year, as indicated in the table. Percentage of proactive intelligence reports that were operationalized on the full chair, the members will note that we've subdivided into three organizational levels. It's focusing on cluster level, provincial level, and national level. There are intelligence reports that are generated at these respective levels, and we intend to maintain specific percentages of operationalizing these intelligence products at the respective levels. There's a 70% of operationalization at the cluster level, 80% at provincial level, and 90% operationalization at national level. The same applies to reactive intelligence reports. Maybe I just need to explain the difference between the proactive and the reactive intelligence reports. Proactive is primarily focusing on crime prevention, while reactive relates to the investigation processes and the investigation of specifically reported crimes. Cross-border operations facilitated. We, in the previous or the 17-18 financial year, Honorable Chair, we facilitated 8 cross-border operations through Interpol. We are not in a position to provide a concrete number, as it all depends on the number of requests that we receive from Interpol. But what the African Police Service commit to is that we will attend to all the requests that are received from Interpol within the specific financial year. And that also applies to the request for the arrest of unidentified transnational crime suspects. In the 17-18 financial year, we attended to 18 requests for the arrest of transnational suspects, and we will maintain 100% adherence to the request over the medium term. I would say that concludes the indicators that are being associated with Program 4, Crime Intelligence. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Any additions?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It's just important to alert the community that as a result of the history where we are coming from, to where it is now, I started the development and execution of a corporate renewal strategy. So should there be a need for the committee to have access to the strategy, I think we can avail it either through your presentation or otherwise. And following the corporate renewal strategy, we have also decided to treat intelligence products as an input, as part of input into the organizational operational process, for which then we expect an output from the various operatives, and that this is getting to a process of being linked to the performance management system to hold those who are utilizing intelligence products accountable, that is to deliver. The other aspect that the corporate renewal strategy is dealing with is the user requirement for intelligence, which has got a technology cut side. I'm sure the regional commissioner could speak more. The certain approvals that we've granted for improving technology in the particular environment. Then the strategy that has dealt with the extension of intelligence capacity to police station better, which means now intelligence capacity starts from police station so that we can respond rightly. Just one challenge where we might also need the support of the committee, the declassification information requests that we get. I think there's many people who want information to be given. And the more than 80% times when the request for visa certification is against the Strategic Intelligence Act. And two, most of the information that is requested for visa certification also talks to national security and sovereignty of the state. So therefore, we are unable to declassify such information. But there's also certain protocols that need to be followed. Certain declassifications need to be done through the Joint Standing Committee. And others through the IG. But presently, we have established a good cooperation and understanding with the bodies that require the classification of information, like the commission, and as well as other offices like the public protector. Because what we've communicated is that certain documentation we can show them, but we can't give, and they do understand it only up to a particular level. So it's just there where we need the support of the community, but we cannot declassify some information of the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We are covered. We could now start with the comments and questions. Honorable Mr. Peacock, Honorable Mr. Shakir, Rafi, Makasa.
Yes, I'm happy to come. You are requesting the support from the committee, and you will get that support. I'm not sure General Commissioner, also the Minister, whether as a country, I'm not sure whether other countries they do have such in South Africa, I'm not sure. But with the little knowledge that I have, in other countries they do not allow some of information. Whether you show him or her and don't give the information. Information. I'm not sure whether as a country we have to protect our country and the information that has been gathered. There's a lot of men that have gone to that. And if you're just going to give it to them, we can end up being used again. Yourself and the state, sometimes for espionage, using the same bodies that you're talking about. I'm not sure whether as a country, what time that you propose that we need to change whether it's a policy or add to that. Just a comment. We need to protect the intelligence and the information that we have in our country. Can't just give everything and give us the information. It only happens here in South Africa, where everybody can come and do whatever he likes. Even to call the information, take it to court, and the court is giving that information. Even if that the conflict is so much. The security of our country. I think it's high time also to the support and the police, not only the police, but protecting our communities and having the information and transfer in and out of individuals. That's a comment.
Minister, you see, you have a very good insight to Kabul office.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm going to be very brief, only two questions. You know, from the public perspective, you know, if they hear about intelligence or crime intelligence, you know, maybe they're thinking about spies. We know that's not the case. I'm just wondering, you know, we got all these good communications indicators. Do we know what is the contribution of crime prevention, you know, in the reduction of crime? You know, if we know that. And then secondly, we still have, you know, we are still plagued by, you know, crime numbers in this country, and I was just wondering to what extent can this unit still, you know, contribute, beef up, whatever, to assist us to manage that crime levels down. That is one, that's my two questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable. I was just looking at the crime rate and how the crime rate was changing in the country and what crime intelligence is doing to change the language which we deal with. Crime intelligence mentioned of corruption, any corruption. And how does crime intelligence in realizing the president's call for a 50% reduction of crime? Lastly, the progress that has been made was to shape the investigation turn around. Would we go back to looking at the committee giving you a blanket refusal to declassify documentation? Maybe we should just go back and investigate and come back to us. Because I'm just need something if it is possible, constitutionally possible for us to do that. So could you just go back and check it? If it's so, please come back to us before we can take the decision. Thank you very much. You have an opportunity now to respond.
Well, thanks, Chairperson. I like your last part. because one more thing that would follow would be time and space. Time and space. You remember, a lot of members, that there is a joint standing committee on intelligence matters. That is never attended by journalists, that is never live on TV for the same purposes. So, that time and space, of, if things are asked here, they might be asked somewhere. So I'm sure we need to explain and understand ourselves time and space on this topic. That's the first one. The second one question. Honorable Chairperson, we must remember that intelligence world is one of the world that is heavily regulated by the laws of the land. Heavily regulated. There are three entities that have the right to deal with that situation. Your MI, military intelligence, your state security, and your local intelligence. Now, all of a sudden, to find a private security company that is called the intelligence component. Because it's regulated. The law does tell us who will do it. It's not something that wake up and feel with a great underleg. I like it. So I will do it. No. So that's it. But one major one is the coordination of those structures. That's why this thing is NICOC. Yeah, NICOC. The coordination then of these three worlds, how they help one another, these words. They're defined by the law. Mostly we deal with the internal matters as the crime intelligence. These other two, military intelligence and the state security, it's got two wings, the internal wing and the external wing. But we sit down to share on those things, including how to utilize those for the benefit of the country. The question was asked by honorable members, does it help? Look, I want to go back to the cashiers. I think it's last week where we arrested these 11 guys. We arrested 11 guys with 8 firearms, big firearms, long before they implement their cashiers. Nothing can give you that except proper diligence. You can arise with the film. You can no bula. You can no bula with the situation. I don't know what is bula African normal. So yeah. Maybe witchcraft, sangoma, that says that. So, Chairperson, it's the way. You know, of late with cashiers, yes, you still have a problem. But if I give you the list of the people who arrest before they hit, many of disrupted activities before they hit, many. And there's nothing else but intelligence. That's it, I think, is picking up. We're not near where we want to be, no doubt about that. But we have moved far away from where we were. We haven't reached where we want to go, but definitely we're not where we were. It's one area where we have been messed up. Let me admit to you, we've been messed up on the climate change. There was an era, it was a messed up situation. That's more with politics rather than crime. So I think we have moved there. We're having a crime intelligence that gives you crime intelligence. So start to move there. But one thing, I'm not going to expand on this one because I might find myself talking on TV with this often. One major thing, Honorable Chair, through you, with this body is IT and technology. If it don't come to that one, unfortunately, it's a national issue, technology. South Africa is 2G, the world is 5G. South Africa is 2G, the world is at 5G. So it can't be changed by the police. It needs to be the national structural change. And there is this popular thing that we always talk about, Nannywood cabinet and sometimes called spectrum. the spectrum never comes. Doesn't come. Spectrum. Spectrum makes you tops. It doesn't come, spectrum. I hope the day it comes. We have requested actually to say when it comes, they have to give police and intelligence, police and all agencies a little bit of a space, because we are not going to be running on everybody's spectrum. We'll have to be isolated and run ourselves, spectrum. That's that. I don't want to tell where we are with the technology, but we are not where we're supposed to be to deal with the majority. I said, speaking to the police yesterday, somebody phoned me and they said want to send me, meaning police, a crime detection equipment. Who are you? How much is it? $50,000. Now, look at it in the private hands even before it is the police. Which means criminals are better places sometimes. Because the technology is open in the market. What needs to help again is that we're a step ahead. And that will have to give us resources to do it. If that equipment is 150 million in the black market, I promise you. So it is one question that this crime intelligence will have to be supported big time. Minus technology, there is no us. There is just no us. Last point on this one. We were chasing some criminals at Matuba Tuba. Cashier's guys at Matuba Tuba. This is a place you hear when somebody sings. Matuba Tuba is a place that you don't know. We couldn't find these criminals because G2, as you get in the mountain, cuts. 2G, it's time. Need 4. That chases you wherever you are. Actually, at least number 4, number 5. You see, U2 one time was tops. U2, you remember that the child that was hijacked or kidnapped from sending the went with the child. So, We found the child on a specific place because of Uchuchi was the child at the time. Pending that it was Uchuchi, man. Siguena is in Uchuchi. We haven't moved to 3. We haven't moved to 4. The world is fast. So, this technology will help us. My problem and my fear of Uchi criminals, because it's open in the market. People that sell these things about those who sell the equipment, but for money. You want their money. If you can buy it, have it through, you can monitor your police, you monitor your army, you monitor your state agency, and say, Tina Sakuluma, the portfolio committee, but that is it. So it's one thing that this technology. Let me stop there for now. But we are bad when it comes to technology of dealing with this matter. We have spoken to the National Commissioner and this team, Siazama. We'll get there.
Thank you, Minister. We know we'll get there. Do we ask the respondents? Can you talk?
No, thanks. No, I think the minister just put the direction. All I can add, which I also put as part and parcel of the technology requirement, in the deep and dark web, modus operandi analysis. I think the criminal underworld is currently operating on deep web. And on deep web, they do many things. They can hack into the reserve bank and move 50 people. And within 3 to 5 minutes, they can change it from South African currency to Bitcoin. And then send it to another country, you can no longer trade it. And the various transactions, I think deep web is on now. That's right, I think it's on. They can move 30 tons of drugs because they do the transaction. But they can also then try to attack the country. Now, other countries, they do deep web monitoring analysis on a daily basis. And that's what we also want to get into, so that we boil down crime in the deep web or modus operandi. So I think this is what is adding to the need for technology. But I also want to confirm, I think our CI has moved quite a distance from the that the minister has spoken to. And when we made the change into the current CI that we see, I think there were comments all over the country, and some of the comments were, is this something that, a change that the country has waited for more than 8 years has been made. And that's when we had a new CI head in the country to drive this process. So we also just still calling for support to get the CI capacitated into the future. If we can invest in the CI, then we have invested in the foundation program. The operational patient test, the
whole thing. So before we actively on the same page as dark wheels.
I'm sorry?
Are we on the same page as dark wheels?
Others they call it deep web, others they call it dark web.
Okay.
But to explain it, I think internet takes 20% of the total web. Then 80% is deep web, or is dark web. And that's where the criminal underworld is operating in that space. Now, if we want to fight them, we need to get into the 80% space. But we play more on internet and only on the 20% part.
But then, how do we fight cyber? Do we have the capacity to fight cyber crime?
I think we have a committee that can influence that we get the capacity. That's the idea to fight it. And Jay, I'm glad that we seem to develop an interest. And what we're saying, I think deep web, including that is the technology that criminals get from the market, is capable of causing a 50 billion damage. Yet, if you acquire, you invest in that technology, maybe you could use the 150 million that the minister is speaking about to save the 50 billion. So I think it's an investment approach, and I also spoke to Treasury. I said to Treasury, we're not asking for more budget. We want government to invest in policy, and then in order to make sure that the safe economic growth, the safe social, that is stability, then the economy will grow and the country will get more. But without that foundation, I think everything collapses. Yes, so if we could invest in it and develop that capacity maximally, I think it can work. But CI, to a certain extent, they do have very minimal capacity. Thank you.
Any additions?
Just one thing. I think collapse is the heavy weight. that you collapse. We're not going to collapse. I on this one, I'm really mobilizing for the blood on the floor. I will be speaking to the Minister of Communication about some kind of an animal called sitter. There will have to be blood on the floor for us to go on the trial. I hope we'll do some of that. This sitter is like you sitting in your house and somebody cooks without telling what you want to eat and say eat. Our agreement as the South African police around between CETA and the service providers without taking us on board. Army did it. That they took it to be internal capacity. We are really working hard. On that one, it's going to be blood on the floor because we have to bring this capacity internally. I'm sure we'll be hearing stories about CETA vis-a-vis service providers. When, as the South African police, we have agreed that this is the line we want to take, CETA says no on our behalf. On our behalf. And that kills the capacity of the South African police going forward. So it's very fair that we are going to make a serious request. I will be speaking to the minister and say, tell you go to work, can you go home and get out of CETA? If not, there has to be some blood on the floor, on the CETA mat. And I know that CETA is prepared for the blood on the floor themselves on this one. They say, I'm a police officer. We are arrested, by the way, by the CETA. Police, instead of arresting criminals, CETA arrest us. We are arrested by CETA.
Honourable Member, we are busy with crime intelligence, not violent crime. Just blood on the floor, violent crime, but really actually violent crime, not an increase of blood on the floor with CETA. Honourable Minister, as we call to order, any addition?
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. Good evening. I think there's a few questions you asked on the changing crime threat. Now, for you to answer that, we with NICOP, the three agencies with NICOP develop and every 5 years a what is known as the crime national intelligence estimate that outlines, and every year we develop a DIPS document, which is the national intelligence priority, that outlines all the threats. So within crime intelligence then, we then unpack those particular threats and even color-coded in terms of the nationally recognized definition of severe, major, etc. Now in that crime threat, we then regularly update and estimate and ensure that we track that. So that in the same way answering the question of Honorable Sir Blanche, on the question of are we then able to make an impact, we then use that threat assessment and that the threat management tool to guide which focus areas we'll be working on and then direct the police in that particular one. Now, Honorable Khunabar, you also asked the question, do we have an impact and do we
have to send lunch?
Sorry, I apologize. Honourable Member. So on slide 155 and 156, we put in there, in order to ensure that we guide policing correctly, we have what we call intelligence operationalized, both reactive and proactive intelligence operationalized. So we will provide crime prevention units, in other words, a uniform unit with specific intelligence, and they would then implement that. Part of our performance indicator is that we must monitor and ensure that they actually operationalize that. So we are not just held accountable for giving, but also ensuring and monitoring that there is feedback on what is happening. When we, in reaction, if a suspect has shot, then we must assist in identifying who the suspects are. And in that way, by giving the information, we must also track that they're actually following up on the information to ensure that the suspect is arrested or that is eliminated as a possible suspect. So in that way, we drive and ensure that we stay relevant to the organization. Otherwise, we could just be giving information that's up in the air. In this case, the indicators have grounded us to ensure that it's operationalized. I think that deals with the issue of threats and how we deal with that. Honorable Chair, you've also asked on the issue of how do we manage corruption inside. Obviously, with great care and great work. But one of the examples would be, I think, the point that the National Commissioner was speaking about. In our technology framework, we've developed a very clear technology framework, and we partnered with CSIR. Instead of going to outside consultants, CSIR is now our expert consultant, and they together, so that if we see a company, firstly we must see them in relation to the technology framework that we developed, one. And two, then if the CSIR as technology experts sit in and assess the technology, we might give user requirements, they will look at the technical requirements. So in that way, we've even indicated to the National Commissioner that we won't be coming to him with technology purchases that is outside of the technology framework. And that essentially says that everything we buy, because before that, we were buying standalone items that didn't necessarily integrate. So now everything we buy is integrated. But obviously with this process, the other departments were not ready for this system. So last year we couldn't spend all of our money because the treasury wasn't ready. They were questioning why did we not do CSIR, for example. So that led to some of our delays. So we've been able to overcome that hurdle so that now we can actually procure and deal with some of the backlog efficiently. So that's in, through that system, Honorable Chair, we prevent a situation where I get a call from somebody to say, you know, I know this. Bring this person in and so on. If it's not in our framework, and it's not part of the plan, we're not procuring it in this 3 years. After the 3 years, we can maybe do, but because we have CSIR as our technology partner, they will ensure that we remain current and that the technology we buy is not outdated. Some of the stuff we buy that cannot be upgradable. So some of the stuff we buy now has the option of, has both in a system where you can upgrade in the next period. Going forward. So that's how we ensure that on the big purchases, because a lot of our corruption was on the purchases of technology. So that's how we built in mechanisms to ensure that things are not just bought willy-nilly. So I thought that hopefully answers some of the questions. And I think those are all of the areas that we've answered. I think on the issues of our impact on crime, as indicated we're very active on all of the key crimes. I think our flagship intervention was the CID. The day before yesterday, we've taken out a group in the Pumalanga, where they were, and then we intercepted a group on Sunday night that had the jammer equipment. The jamming equipment that we jammed was 8.6, and we took out 8 suspects there. So that, so we're on that area, but it's a work in progress. There's a lot of areas. Our gangsterism issue is a big threat, and it requires extensive work, because we have, and it's not just confined to the Western Cape, it's all over the country, and in a very structured way. We're working with the prisons, with the prison authorities, because we're picking up that as they're releasing suspects, they're releasing number gangs out in Durban, where they killed one of the notorious brothers at the funeral. The 26th number was paraded there. They marched, they buried him in a particular way, which comes from the prison influence. So to confine gangsterism in Cape Town will misread the situation and will end up dealing with the small fire or the big fire with the raging. Okay. So that I hopefully answers all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. That brings us to the end of business today. I would like to thank the General Minister, the Minister General, and I would also like to thank the general national commissioner or national commissioner general. And the team, the presenters, did very well today. We are left now with the civilian secretariat for police and Albert, which will do tomorrow. We'll start at 2 tomorrow. Honorable Minister, we take cognizance of the fact that you have a amendment tomorrow. So we've released the National Commissioner and the Deputy Commissioner to attend the amendment. We then requested that the CDSPS, that they just be allowed to read the amendment and come to the committee. But furthermore, the amendment should continue with your team. The National Commissioner is a seat, and thank you for your team. And then on Tuesday, so tomorrow we start at 2, honorable members. On Tuesday we start at 9, where we do CIRA. That would allow the officials an opportunity to complete the budget report. Will then be done with the budget report on Tuesday. It will be published Wednesday, and we will be ready for the debate on vote 23 and vote 20 on Thursday. To the Honourable Minister, best of luck for the budget speech to your team on Thursday. We will be there to support you and to give out presentation as well. Thank you. Very much. Honourable members, that brings to an end to a close the business of today. We see you.